Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 350, Make Room, A Christmas Message. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, December 24th, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Merry Christmas to you. How's everyone doing? Good. You're awake? I had to make sure you're awake this morning. I was thinking I would do a Christmas joke, but instead, this is what you get. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I can preach in these, so we'll just set them right there. Because you might not be able to take me seriously, right? So a little fun is good. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. God is good. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what we celebrate today. Let me start my timer to keep me on track. Okay. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we've already heard some of the scriptures, and we're going to look a little bit more and more in depth to them today, the story of our Savior coming into the flesh. He is the Word made flesh, and he came to be with us because of his great love for us. It's truly a reason to celebrate today. We don't celebrate Santa Claus or, you know, any other the other things, Rudolph and the reindeer. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. And just like Pastor Israel said, whether, you know, there's debate about the time of year, and perhaps it wasn't this time of year, but this is the time. I read that I think it was the 4th century is when they determined, whoever they is, you know, they determined that this time of year, December 25th, would be celebrated as the birth of Jesus. So putting the controversy aside, we open our hearts to celebrate Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, because he is awesome. So, you know, Jesus came as a baby to bring hope, to bring peace, hope of salvation, right, to a lost and dying world. At the time, you know, the Roman Empire was pretty terrible. How do you say it? You know, like a dictatorship, right? And Caesar Augustus came into leadership, and he did bring some order, but it was very focused on himself. It was the people worship. He wanted the worship, the focus to be on him, and, you know, causing just oppression to the people. There was a lot of fear. There was, you know, prior to Caesar Augustus being in rule, there was a lot of chaos and just social unrest and upheaval and destruction. And, you know, it was common for thieves to be out and robbing, and just lots of chaos is the best word to really describe it. So, and seeing, we're gonna take a look today at some of the stories, and there are more than what we're gonna look at. But the stories there's stories all throughout the Bible of how the enemy, the defeated one, we'll call him that, because he's defeated. You know, Satan, how he tries to put fear in hearts to stop the plan of God. And you can see that really in the Christmas story. So I chose a few little vignettes that have to do with the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus, to talk about today, to share about, you know, how fear was trying to come in and how Jesus and his coming changed all of that and turned that upside down. So, you know, fear, who's ever dealt with fear? Probably not telling the truth if you don't raise your hand, right? Fear is a liar. It comes from the pit of hell. It comes from the father of lies, Satan, right? The defeated one. And it's an obstacle to us. It's an obstacle. It's a hindrance in our walk with God, because God calls us to great things, things that we, you know, oftentimes feel inadequate, you know, of like, how can I do this, God? How can I carry that out? And, you know, Satan just loves to inject those thoughts of inadequacy or you're not good enough or how are you going to do this, and just fear. We know that fear is false evidence appearing real. That means it's false, guys. Right? We stick with the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, the one who speaks and breathes truth into us. And so if you're dealing with fear, if you, you know, even just a thought as it comes up, run to truth, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Run to His Word, because it will anchor you in what He says and what, and it will dispel the lies, that false evidence appearing real. All right, so let's take a look at the first little Christmas vignette, I'll call it, that shows how this fear was trying to come in and the effect that fear had. And so this is in Luke 1. This is the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I have it there, so I don't know why I'm turning. Okay, praise God. Zechariah was a devout man. He loved the Lord, right? And this encounter happened in Luke 1, starting, we're going to start it in verse 11. And let's just see this encounter that he has with the angel of the Lord. Okay, so while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to you to bring this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." Okay, let's talk about this story. Let's unpack this a little bit. It says the angel of the Lord comes to Zechariah, right, who had never bore a child, never had a child. He and Elizabeth were in their older years. It doesn't say exactly how old they were. But verse 12, it says, he was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw this angel. Wow. Now, this is a man of God who worshiped God, but maybe this was the first encounter he had with an angelic being, with the supernatural like this, right? He was shaken and overwhelmed with fear. And then when the angel told him, you know, he said, don't be afraid. I don't know if it doesn't seem like that fear really, or that peace, that don't be afraid. Maybe that wasn't really helpful to him. It's like, you know, when you're stressing out, calm down, don't be stressed. Yeah, too late. You know, right? It's like that fear had taken root in his heart, it seems. And, you know, the angel tells him, you're going to have great joy and gladness. And he tells him what's going to happen, that your wife is going to, you know, conceive a child, and he's going to prepare the way for Jesus. And guess what? Zechariah doesn't believe it. Right? He kind of like shuts the door on it almost. And so when he responds, when you see him respond, you see that doubt. Like, how can this happen? That's not, you know, that's not possible. And he's stating the logical. He's stating the facts. He's stating, well, my age, my body, my wife, this, that. It's just, you know, not possible. He was looking at the circumstances over God's word. And anytime we do that, we get into trouble. We open the door for fear. When we're looking at and listening to and giving heed to our circumstances, how we feel and what we see about the situation, more than what God's word says. I am preaching to myself today. Hallelujah. At least I'm going to get it. Praise God. So, you know, we know the end of the story, that God's plan went forth, right? And she bore a child, but that fear stole from him, didn't it? The consequence was not being able to speak. And I don't know if he was a chatty guy, but, you know, for me, that would be a punishment to not be able to speak, especially to be able to share news like this. You know, if they had been longing for a child in their hearts and wanting that, to not be able to share that news, that would be torture. That would be difficult. And that was the consequence of fear that, you know, that came on him, right? We can walk in God's plan for us. We can go through the motions of it, but if our heart is entertaining fear, then there's going to be something stolen from us. We're not going to walk in that fullness of peace that he has, or the fullness of joy to be able to share the news with others, right? And so he couldn't share his excitement. He couldn't testify to the glory of God. He couldn't share and explain, wow, look how great God is and what he's done for us. He defied the impossible. He did a miracle in my wife's body, in us. And he wasn't able to share that. That would have been difficult, wouldn't it not? Don't you agree? Yes. Wow. Fear is not only a liar, it's a thief. It's a thief of joy, right? We must learn to shut the door on it when it comes. So another person involved in the Christmas story is Mary, of course. And let's go to her account and see how her response was a little bit different than Zechariah's. So Luke 1, verse 26. So this says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's what we had just read about, right? Elizabeth and Zechariah. God sent the angel, now Gabriel, he was busy, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be the very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen?" That's the same question that Zechariah asked, right? "I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of the Lord will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Okay. I looked at this for a while and I thought, wow, yeah, that's the same question that Zechariah asked. But the ending of Mary's account with the angel is different than Zechariah's account and occurrence with the angel. She had many questions. Like, imagine, okay, she's a virgin and she's being told, "You're going to conceive a son," and not just, that's not the end of the story. His kingdom will reign forever. He will be the king of Israel. Can you imagine, you know, if Mary had a cell phone, like her sending to her friend, like, you know, those little emojis that have the mind blown, like, like, what in the world? Like, I can't even quite think of this. I can't even quite conceive this idea that you're, you know, that this angel is telling me, and a friend responds, "Say what?" You know, you're what? Wow. That's some big news. Have you ever felt like God has dropped something like that, like big news on your lap? You know, when you begin, maybe it has to do with your calling, or, you know, just tells you something that you're going to do that feels like big news, and you have these mind-blown emojis, like, in your heart, like, what? Like, me? How am I supposed to carry this? How am I supposed to walk in this? Me? Little me? Like, do you mean the one next to me? You know? No. You, Mary. You're chosen. I think that's why the angel started out with that. Favored woman, greetings to you. The Lord is upon you. He started with that greeting. She was favored. She was blessed. He thought, he knew her heart, that she could handle that she could walk in that calling. A lot of times we don't feel up to the job. We don't feel adequate. And now I'm really preaching to myself. This story really ministered to me this week. I really resonate with Mary, feeling the heaviness of a calling or several callings on your life. And you go, I don't know how this is supposed to happen. Like, you're choosing me. Like, why? I don't think, God, like, you're trying to, you know, kind of reason with God. And he's saying, no, you're favored. I know your heart. I know you will do it, you know? And as long, it's nothing in ourselves, but he chooses us because he knows that as long as we have our hearts turned back to him and looking to him, that we will be able to walk it out, as scary or as overwhelming as it may seem or feel, right? And so, yeah, it's not about what we feel. It's about what God says. And so don't you just love Mary's heart that you can see here, that, you know, so she's taking all this in. He's telling her about her son that she will conceive and give birth to, and about his life. And then so she does ask, how can this happen? You know, I'm a virgin. And so he explains it to her, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. That word overshadow, I realized when I was studying this week, Acts 5, if in your cell group you've gotten to Acts 5 in your sharing, that overshadow is a Greek word called episkiazo. And it's not, you know, in Acts 5, it's used when about Peter, right? Peter's shadow, when they go out in the streets, I'll just read it. It says, as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow, episkiazo, might fall across some of them as he went by. And when I dug into this word a little bit, it doesn't mean a physical shadow like I, like, light and the science of me creating a shadow of light and darkness. This Greek word episkiazo actually means it's the power of God hovering. It's a supernatural power that overshadows you. And it's the same word that was used for this overshadowing of Peter when the people that were sick in the streets were getting healed. It's that same word that's used for Mary when he tells her that the power of the Most High will overshadow you. It's that episkiazo. And so it's nothing of her own doing, right? It's the power of the Almighty One hovering over her, enabling her body to conceive a child, just like enabling Peter with, you know, equipping him with the supernatural power to heal because he was overshadowed by God himself, the healing power of Yeshua the Messiah. I'm getting excited. Is anyone getting excited in the house this morning? So that power was going to come on Mary and overshadow her. What an amazing thing. That's a miracle. That's a miracle of God, right? And I take this away from the story. When God gives you a calling, He will not leave you on your own to do it, to figure it out. It's His power that overshadows you. It's the episkiazo that's going to fall on you. That's the anointing of God to walk and begin to take steps in what He's calling you to do. Even if you, your first thought, your flesh is going, I don't think so. I don't think that's for me. Or are you sure you didn't call the Maria next to me? I'm Mary. You know, I'm Mary. Did you get it wrong? You know, no, you're going to be overshadowed. Let Him do it. It's His strength. It's His power. It's His episkiazo. Praise the Lord. I was about to say, yeah, Sarah, I'm preaching to myself here again and again. I hope you know that. I hope you know that, because anytime I get up here to share with you guys, whoo, I go through some stuff on my own. And then usually, you know, it's like God takes me through a process. And so then when I get up here, like what He has me speak is actually, it's ministering to myself. And so that's why I say I'm preaching to myself, because this is for me. And you guys can glean from it and benefit from it. Praise the Lord. I'm letting you in on it. God's letting you in on it. Praise God. But like Mary's response, you do have to say yes. You do have to open your heart. And her response, right, in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. She attached her own identity to being a servant of God. So that fear, she just pushed the fear. Like, I'm not even going to entertain that thought. Like, she asked a question, He told her. And so then she just, okay. It's like in that immediate moment, she decided, I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering to this plan that I don't understand and doesn't make sense with my mind, but I'm going to say yes, because You're my Lord and I'm Your servant. And so let's imitate her model, Mary's model of just saying, yeah, I don't get it, but yes, I am Your servant. You are the Lord Most High, and You will equip me to do whatever You're calling me to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we can trust on that. We can take that to the bank. His power, His episkiazo will rest on us to walk it out, to go tell it on the mountain. You're not alone when you go tell it on the mountain, because His power will put words in your mouth so you can do it. Hallelujah. It's warm up here. Okay. So when fear stares you at the in the face, what is your conclusion? Are you going to have a conclusion, a final response like Mary, to yield? To yield to him? Or you can yield to the fear. We have choices all the time. Fear or faith? Joy or peace? Or no, that's in the same category. Joy or peace. That's what I want to major on. Joy and peace or fear and despair, right? Anxiety and fear and torment. No, we shut the door on that. Let's trust him. Let's trust him. Okay, next story. Luke 2 that we already heard today, but I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Luke 2. This is the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. Okay, during those days, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus ordered that the first census be taken throughout the empire. Help me with the name. Quirinius was the governor of Syria at that time. Everyone had to travel to the hometown of their family to complete the mandatory census. So Joseph and his wife Mary left Nazareth, a village in Galilee, and journeyed to their hometown in Judea, to the village of Bethlehem, King David's ancient home. They were required to register there since they were both direct descendants of David. Mary was pregnant and nearly ready to give birth. When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped the newborn baby in strips of cloth, and Mary and Joseph laid him in a feeding trough since there was no available space in any upper room in the village. That night, in a field near Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified. But the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the feeding trough. Then all at once in the night sky, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven. And they all praised God, singing, 'Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven. For there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men.' When the choir of angels disappeared and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go, let's hurry and find this word who is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us.' So they hurried off and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened. Everyone who had heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they meant. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified him for all they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angel had said." All right. Don't you just love this? I love this story. Praise God. So we've already talked a little bit throughout the different parts of the service, you know, that he didn't come as a royal king sitting on his throne. God chose for Jesus to be manifest into the earth, onto the earth as a baby, right? And not into a palace. Not into beautiful, luxurious quarters. right? But rather in the lower level of a village home. So, you know, there's no room at the inn. It actually probably was a two-level story place, and guests would stay in the inn, which would be the upper room of these homes. And so the bottom rooms were used much like an all-purpose room that was a workshop during the day, and at night was used to shelter like frail animals. So the studying that I did, it didn't actually say that it was a real barn, like a real stable, but that it was used for that at night, perhaps to shelter some animals. So it was rugged, right? And it was primitive. But that's where they ended up, because there was no room available for them. Would they had made room for Jesus? Would they, like, if they had, people had made room for Jesus, would they have known that he was the Son of God? Maybe had no way of knowing that, right? The shepherds were the ones that were getting the announcement out in the field, right? Not the people in the town. Wow. Wow, wow. Such humility. The way he chose to come, right? They placed him, Mary and Joseph placed him in a feeding trough. That's a manger. Such humility. That he disposed of his divinity, his divine power, that he was God of the universe, creator of the universe, but he would choose to come that way to serve us, to serve people because of his great love for us. So verse 8 talks about, you know, the fields, right? Scholars believe that these fields were the same fields that were keeping watch over the sacrificial flocks, like the lambs that were used in the sacrifices in the altar, at the altar, right? For to take away people's sin. Isn't that ironic? That's where the Lord chose to come and announce to the shepherds, in a place where they were keeping watch over those sacrificial lambs. And here they're getting the announcement of the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. He's coming. He's come. He's come for you. He's come for everyone. So, you know, they face some fear. Right? An angel comes, one first, and then he calls for backup, and then the whole sky, it says a vast army of the angels of heaven appeared. Wow. Wow, wow. And why did he choose to come to shepherds and not the wise Pharisees, Sadducees, scholars, biblical scholars that were studying? Do you ever think about that? Their hearts, somebody just said. He chose to announce his birth to the shepherds, who were a ragtag, rough bunch, right? They were known as like the social outcasts of the day. They were under the rule. I mean, everyone was, but they maybe just lived the signs of this, that they, being under the oppressive rule of the Roman government. Right, they were hard workers. They were out in the fields working to protect the sheep. And remember, this was an unstable economy, unstable social unrest. Still, is, you know, kind of going on. Weak economy. So there were crime. There was crime going on. But he came. The Lord Jesus came for the lowly, for the rejected, to give the news to them. To tell them first. And like Jonathan, our visitor guest speaker last week, so powerfully delivered a word, and he was talking about how, you know, Jesus came for the sick. Jesus came for the leper. He came for the cojo. How do you say that in English? The lame, the crippled one. You know, he came for the one who was broken and cast off. in the eyes of the world. He came for you and he came for me. And he wanted this group, this shepherd group, outcast group, to know, hey, he's come for you. He loves you. Peace. Not necessarily peace like... It was a peace between God and themselves, an inner peace between men and God that was going to be established, right? Fear, in verse 9, was their first response. But what does God do? Because he's so good and so gracious. He always brings reassurance. They were terrified, verse 9. The blazing glory of God, right, and came, lighting up the field, and the shepherds were terrified. And verse 10, the angel reassured them. God is so good to bring reassurance. If you're feeling terrified, look for him. Seek him. Get that reassurance from him. Say, God, I need to hear your voice. I need reassurance from you. Because you'll hear him saying, just like he said to the shepherds, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. For I have come to bring you good news. It's almost too good to be true news. That's the real definition of the gospel. The most joyous news that you could ever imagine. So the angels are preaching. This is the first time the gospel is being preached right here. From angelic beings to these social outcast rejects. Wow. Praise the Lord. Look for that reassurance. Because God, when you silence your fear and you renounce that and you close the door on that, you will be still and you will hear God say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Trust. Trust me. Trust in my episkiazo that's going to rest on you. Yeah? Praise the Lord. I'm preaching today. Okay, where's my papers? Who needs them? Wow, wow, wow. Emmanuel, God with us. I love that so much. I just love saying that word. Emmanuel, God with me, not just even us. You can personalize it for yourself because he came for you and you and you and each one. He came for you to bring light in your darkness, light in your situation, light where in your family situation where it looks bleak and it looks bad. He says, don't be afraid. I'm Emmanuel, God with you. Trust in my power that's going to hover over you so that you can be an instrument in your family or whatever situation that you're walking in. Don't be afraid. We need to make room in our hearts for his light to come in. We need to make room in our hearts for his peace to come in, because that's who he is and that's why he came. The shalom peace of God would rest on us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right? Praise the Lord. This rescuer was born for you. He was born for you. He was born to rescue out of darkness, out of fear, out of doubt, out of self-hatred, out of unworthiness. Maybe your earthly family or the situation to which you were born in was not ideal. And it breaks God's heart of how you were raised or treated as a child, or the words that were spoken over you, or whatever hurts from your past. He says, I came to rescue you out of that. I came to give you a hope and a future. I came to be your Emmanuel, God with you. His light dispels the darkness, our darkness around us. And then, if it couldn't get any better, it got better. Verse 13, it got even brighter. Like, what kind of wattage is happening there in the sky? You know, amazing, amazing. It was a praising celebration. The angels were praising God, singing glory to his name. I would love to be a firefly in the sky? I was going to say fly on the wall, but there's no walls because they're outside in the fields, right? And so, you know, just to wouldn't you love to witness that? I want to see a real life movie in heaven when I get to heaven of that, when Jesus was born and, wow, in the fields being announced the gospel news, that good news to the shepherds. It was praiseworthy. It was awesome because his presence is joyful. His presence brings joy. It changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Did you hear that, Sarah? Jesus changes everything. His coming would change Israel forever, bring joy to Israel. And God is still acting that out today, isn't he? He's bringing them back. He's bringing the apple of his eye, Israel, back, even amidst the war. And so we share this message with our brothers and sisters, and prophetically we like send out this word to them that Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, HaMashiach, came for you. He came for you, Israel. And he's going to rescue you out of your darkness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest realms of heavens, they say in verse 14. There was a peace and a hope brought to men. He is the Prince of Peace. He came to reconcile you and me to the Father, to the heart of the Father. The wrath of God was satisfied, poured out by the blood of Jesus on the cross, right? So that we could have our sins atoned for, taken care of, washed away by the precious blood of Jesus, so that we are whole and healed and redeemed and delivered and set free and to praise him, to serve him, right? And so then what they do, verse 15, they sought out the word made flesh. I love it how it says that in the Passion Translation. They went to seek the word, the capital W, the word. He was the word made flesh, right? John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That was Jesus. Right? And then it keeps going, drop down in John 1 to verse 4 or 5. It says, in him was life. Life. That's the abundant life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Hallelujah. We can say that to our brothers and sisters in Israel. And I say that into your situation. The light. Lost my place. The light shines in your darkness, in your dark situation. It shines in the darkness of the bomb streets of Israel, right? But the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness will not overcome you in your situation if you seek out the light and keep that light of Jesus with you. Hallelujah. He was the Word became flesh, John 1:14. That's a good chapter, John 1. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When the glory of God shows up, you can forget everything else, right? You can forget your sheep in the field that you usually have to vigilantly watch over, and you run to see because you want the presence of God. You want to see where he's at, right? Do you ever think about that, that the shepherds just left their sheep and they went to search out Jesus? Maybe the angels, hey, you angels, you're on your turn, tag. Watch our sheep. We're going to go find this sign. We're going to go find the word, the living word made flesh that came for us. The sheep were good. They were all safe and sound when the shepherds came back, but they wanted to go. They had seen the presence of God. They heard. And so they had to seek him out. They had to go. And so they found Mary and Joseph in that lower room, not the upper room. And they found baby Jesus, right, resting in the manger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bet that was an encounter that changed their lives forever. I'd like to sit down and have a coffee in heaven with one of the shepherds. What was that like? You know, tell me, how did your life change? That's their testimony, their before and their after story. Can you imagine? Praise God. So then what did they do? They went and told others. They must have known the song, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." They went and told it. They told to others what they had seen, what they had experienced, the peace, the glory of God, that God has sent this baby, Jesus, to be a light for them, to be king for them. Praise God. Praise was a result. They returned to their assignment, right, in the field, and praise was a result. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, conclusion. Lost track of my timer. I set the timer and then I just forget about it. We're good. Okay. Emmanuel, God with us this Christmas season. Don't be afraid. And going into 2024, it may be a bumpy year. It's an election year, so let's buckle up. But even more than any of that, let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the Shalom, Prince of Peace, who came to bring light into the darkness. Hallelujah. Will you keep your heart free this Christmas season and this coming year, 2024? Keep your heart free of fear, of doubt, of worry, of whatever it is that hinders your walk and hinders you in serving God to the fullest in the way that he's spoken to you? And will you make room for him? Will you make room for Jesus in your heart, for his light to shine not only in you, but through you so that others can see? Give Jesus a place. Give him residence. He's the best house guest I think there ever was, right? He doesn't make a mess. He cleans up. He leaves it better than he leaves the house better than how he found it. Praise God. We could learn from him. Make room for Jesus. Make room for his peace. Make room for his light. Make room for his word. Make room for his hope, because that's all of who he is. Make room for his love, his precious, unconditional love. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for sending your Son, the Word made flesh, for us, that he came as a light in the darkness. Thank you, Father God, for this beautiful story that just seems so, just so ordinary. But it's you, Jesus. It's your message of hope and light and peace that you want to settle into hearts. Thank you, Father, that when we are looking to you, there's room for your peace. There's room for your light. There's room for your hope. And so right now, together, we shut the door on fear in our lives in the name of Jesus. We renounce fear and worry and doubt and anxiety in the name of Jesus. We make room for you, Lord, our Savior, Christ, the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. We make room for you. We open wide the doors of our heart for you to dwell there, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us and giving us reminders when we need it of your word of truth to dispel any lie that we would begin to entertain. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that when you call us to something, when you call us to be your children, when you call us to be your servants, when you call us to a specific role or ministry or whatever it is, you don't leave us alone to figure it out. Your power, your anointing will rest on us. Thank you, Father, for overshadowing each one of us, that we are called, that we are backed up. We are anointed for what you have called us to. Thank you, Father, for anointing mothers and fathers. I just feel like God wants to just bless the mothers and fathers today, that even in this Christmas season, sometimes it's hard, or there's brokenness in families, or maybe you're estranged from your children. And God says, I have given you the piskiazo. I have overshadowed you with my power to walk in the anointing, to be your child's mother and to be your child's father. So walk in my light, listen to my word, listen to my voice, and I will make the crooked path with your child, with your son or your daughter, I will make it smooth, says the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing families. Thank you for bringing back into unity families that have been dealing with strife and division and disunity. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for bringing your light. And you say to each one in families and individuals, you say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I am Emmanuel, God with you, God for you. Who can be against you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as a church family, as we walk into 2024, you, your power, your almighty power rests on us as a church family, as a body called to be your messengers, called to be the house of deliverance, called to be the house of healing. Thank you, Father, that your power rests on each one to walk in the piece of the puzzle that each one has. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, God. We bless your name today as we celebrate Christmas. We look to you, Christ our Savior, and we just say, we love you. We love you, church. Just pour out your love on him for a second. Why don't you stand up?
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.